If it matters to you, let us know. Contact us now, 1850 400 964 or email focus@clare.fm.
You're very welcome back to the programme. We are approaching the 100th anniversary of Irish women securing the vote. And in tandem with that, my next guest is about to release a book on one woman who was central in that struggle, Hannah Sheehy Skeffington, a book describing her as a suffragette and Sinn Féiner. Her memoirs and political writings is being published by Margaret Ward. And she joins me now on the line. Margaret, good morning.
Good morning, Gavin.
And thanks very much for joining us. Tell us about Hannah Sheehy Skeffington, for those who are unaware, although she is, I think, often a little bit underrated, to be blunt, but she is a very important figure in Irish history.
She certainly is, and I hope that by seeing Hannah's own words, which is what this book is about, people will really have much more of an awareness of the stature of the woman. She was one of Ireland's first graduates, a very educated, cultured woman. She was a militant suffragette. She served two terms of imprisonment for the fight for women and the vote. She was also a very close friend of a number of the leaders of the 1916 Rising, in particular James Connolly and Thomas McDonough. In fact, Connolly had said to her before the Rising that if it was prolonged, that they had agreed she would be a member of the civil provisional government that would be set up. So that shows you an indication of the esteem that she was, in fact, held by the revolutionaries of the period. Mm. And later on, after her husband is murdered in Portobello during the Rising, Frank Sheehy Skeffington, a pacifist who had tried to prevent the looting, she, through the force of will and the strength of her connections, she manages to interview Prime Minister Asquith. She manages to get an inquiry into the death of her husband, all in a very short space of time. She refuses compensation of £10,000 and ends up going to America for 18 months, speaking at over 250 meetings, and as the only Irish Republican in America to be granted an interview with President Wilson. So I think just that small part of her life, and she lived until 1946 and remained politically active, shows you some of her importance.
Absolutely. I mean, it's some list of achievements that you've chronicled there. I wanted to explore a little bit with you, Margaret, how she was campaigning, not in tandem with perhaps, but rather at the same time as the Rising. I mean, when we're talking about a century ago, we're just in the aftermath of what happened in Easter 1916. How strong or otherwise were the links between Hannah Sheehy Skeffington and those who were involved in what happened at that time?
Well, if we're just thinking about the period just before the Rising, we're in the middle of the First World War, and Hannah and her organisation, the Franchise League, were very much in opposition to the war. And partly because of that, they start to become closer to Republicans. So they had tried to get over to a Women's Peace Congress in The Hague in 1915. The British government refused some passports and closed the shipping, so none of the Irish or British delegates were able to get to The Hague. And they organized a protest meeting in Dublin. And at that, Patrick Pearce sent a message of support. And Thomas McDonough actually spoke in favour of one of the motions. So you can see that there was a discussion going on between people. Mm. They were talking about the kinds of Ireland of the future that they would have liked. And she says to one of the other women, Louis Bennett, who was not in favour of war in any description, that she would support a short uprising if she felt that it would free Ireland from British rule, but she didn't see that happening at the time.
So was it her own choosing that she wasn't more centrally involved in the Rising, or was it the fact she was a woman?
It's more complicated than that. Cumann na mBan is the organisation set up to support the Irish volunteers, and she always disagreed with them because she called them an auxiliary organisation, and she criticised the volunteers for not having women on its executive and not treating women as equal. In fact, Frank Skeffington had written an open letter to McDonough criticising them on those grounds and on the grounds of militarism. So she didn't join Cumann na mBan. She wasn't a member of the Irish Citizen Army, although Frank had been a founder member of it. But what she did was on the Easter Tuesday, she and Frank walked into Dublin and she went to the GPO with supplies and went and spoke to Connolly and she offered her services. And actually, when she was in the GPO carrying a cup of Bovril to Tom Clark, she met her uncle, Father Eugene Sheehy, who had been a huge influence in her life. He was a close friend of Clark's, and they were both surprised to see each other there. She then goes to the College of Surgeons, and Countess Markievicz talks in her reminiscence of the time about seeing Hannah Shee Skeffington coming with a big bag of food for the garrison. So that was her contribution. After that, Frank is murdered that night, and her, the next few days is spent her trying to find out what's happened to her husband.
In later life, as you outlined, she did a lot more travelling to the US. She also campaigned against Bunoch na hÉireann, the 37 Constitution.
She did. She continued to campaign. When she came back to Ireland in 1918, and she first of all campaigned for Countess Markievicz to become elected. She, her paper, The Irish Citizen, congratulated Ireland for being ahead of Britain in terms of one woman being elected in those elections. None of the English women were successful. But and then when the treaty is debated, she's part of a delegation trying to get the Dáil to pass a measure enabling women over 21, the ones who had taken a lead role in the War of Independence, to be given a vote on the treaty. So that doesn't happen. And her disillusionment with what is happening is very clear after that. When the Free State is set up, one of the first acts is to remove women from jury service. She's very clear that that should not have happened, that women had the right to be tried by their peers and by women who understood what their pressures were. So she, you can see her in when the Conditions of Employment Bill is introduced in 1935. She actually says that bill out Hitler in terms of the power the minister had to remove women. So by the time the Constitution comes up, she and women who have been active like her for decades are very active, and they set up another organisation, the Women's Social and Progressive League, to try and campaign against the clauses in the Constitution.
And I know we're hopping around history here, but just to go back to the centenary that is upcoming of women being granted the right to vote, how influential was Hannah Shee Skeffington in securing that, or was it the actions of the likes of Emmeline Pankhurst and Moore on the other side of the Irish Sea that ultimately led to it?
Well, it was obviously a bill that was passed by the House of Commons, but I do think that, you know, people sometimes say it was women's war work that showed that women were capable of you know, contributing to public life and they get rewarded by the vote. But I think it was the militant campaign, and the government did not want to return to militancy at the end of the war, which is what would have happened if some measure of female suffrage hadn't been passed. So I think that the militants on both sides of the border were influential, and it was a movement that saw the Pankhurst, for example, taking speaking tours in Ireland. It saw the Irish suffragists going over to England and taking part in campaigns there. And indeed, these nine women from Ireland served time in Holloway Jail for taking part in the English militant campaign. So it was a movement that was very, very integrated.
Okay. And your book, her memoirs, her political writings, I guess you're hoping the reader gets an insight into her?
Absolutely. Martina Devlin, who is chairing a discussion at the launch of the book, has already said, she's reading it in preparation, that she feels that Hannah is sitting beside her. Hannah wrote so vividly and covered so many really important events, and she has a wonderful sense of humour. So they're not dry memoirs at all. I think the reader can really get into the time that she was talking about, her descriptions of people, for example, Michael Collins, who she said had the military man's contempt for civilians, his language very choice, how he loved rough and tumble. You really get sense of all these people from her descriptions.
Okay. That launch event takes place on the 4th of October at the Royal Irish Academy on Dawson Street in Dublin. You'll be taking part of that, obviously, Margaret. And it asks the question, as you discuss Anna Sheehy Skeffington's legacy, as to where are we in Irish women's struggle for equality today? A very big question to leave to the end of an interview, but there are obviously still a way to go.
There certainly is, and Hannah was very clear when she stood actually for election in 1943, hoping that a women's party would be formed to challenge all the anti-women legislation. She said that her, you know, the Free State had put out a lot of negative legislation instead of the constructive legislation she had hoped for, and she condemned the Censorship Act, etc., which limited women's ability to access, for example, contraception. So the kinds of issues that she was talking about are issues that we still have in terms of representation of women in public life, in terms of repealing the Eighth Amendment so that women can have control over their fertility. These are all issues that Hannah would have been strongly in support of.
Okay, the book is Hannah Sheehy Skeffington, Suffragette and Sinn Féiner, Her Memoirs and Political Writings. It is published by UCD Press. It is written and compiled by Margaret Ward. Margaret, thank you very much for joining us on the programme this morning.
Thank you, Gavin.
Clare FM's Morning Focus with Gavin Grace.